All of us have dreams. All of us dream about all kinds of things. When we're young, we dream of finding that perfect girl, a perfect guy. We dream of graduating from high school. We dream of maybe going to college and graduating from college. We dream of getting that first job. We dream of then after getting that job, maybe going up the ladder and getting a promotion here and there. And then we dream about having a place to stay. How many of you remember when you got your first apartment? You were so excited about it. Anybody remember that? You got your first apartment. You dreamed about, man, just can't wait to get that first apartment. I remember dreaming about the day when I didn't have to go away from Susan's house without her. That we could go together. And we'd never have to take her back to her parents' house. That's what I dreamed about. And then we got married, and I didn't have to take her back to her parents' house, but then I said, oh, wait a minute, where am I going to take her now? I got to take her someplace. So I began to dream about a place to stay, and then we got a place to stay, and it was a church parsonage, and then I said, but you know, one of these days, maybe I'd like to have a place. I wonder if it'd be okay to drive a nail in that wall. I wonder if it'd be okay to hang a picture on that. My wife loved pictures, so that it'd been like a woodpecker all around the house, man. I mean, there were nails everywhere, because she didn't believe in having uncovered walls. And so then I said, you know, I better get my own place, and maybe we can buy one together. And we bought our own place, and I'll never forget it. It was an old rent house. I didn't even want to walk on the carpet. It was too filthy. You could see where all the furniture was. Just terrible. We fixed it all up, and I remember, wow, Lord, so exciting. And then we came up here and started all over again. And I barely was able to buy anything. And then I said, well, Lord, you just have to take care of us. And then we dreamed about one day building our own house and maybe being able to do that. And we got a chance to do that. And that was really tough, because whenever you would say to her, what would you like? She's a girl. And they liked a lot of things. And if she could, it would be a house with no walls, only windows. I said, honey, something has to hold up the windows. Okay. And then I got a little bit more, and then we said, you know, we want to serve the Lord. I was so excited about being a youth pastor and working with all the young people. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm so excited about that. And then the Lord, we'd like to be a missionary. Lord, I'd like to go to the mission field. And then the Lord said, no, I want you to go to Herndon. And we said, Herndon? Where is that? And then we came up here and saw it and said, Lord, not here. It was a cow pasture across the street. It was like, Lord, is this where you really want us? Yes. And then, you know, we came in, and Lord, after about 10 years, we said, Lord, okay, we finally got used to it. And we said, okay, Lord, could we stay here for a while? And so our dreams were, each time your dream changes, did you know God dreams too? And he has dreams for everybody in this room. You know what his number one dream is? That you could be delivered from your sin. That you would see Jesus Christ, his son, as the payment for your sin. And he dreams about it. The Bible says that he's not going to come back until, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, that he is waiting and not willing that any should perish, but that all come to the knowledge of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Every one of you, he dreams about you getting your debt of sin paid. You see, until that time, there's something between you and God, and it's called sin. Every time you do it, we're born with it, and we have to do something to get rid of that sin. Well, man has created all kinds of things you can do. I mean, give money to the church, and I'd like that, but that won't get rid of your sin. I mean, go get baptized, that'd be great, but that won't get rid of your sin. I mean, you can come to church, you can look good at church, that won't get rid of your sin. Because Jesus died for you, so he dreams about every person. That's the reason missionaries are so important to him. Hey, he dreams about people in the foreign land that have never heard the name of Christ. Oh, we heard this morning in Sunday school from Brother Brian about a group that he went to, and they had never seen American people, and he flew a plane in there, and as he's talking to them, he found out they had a story in their traditions that there was a flood and only a few people made it. And he was able to tell them, I can tell you more about the story. And they heard about a great, great God that son died. And they didn't know anything more about that. And so he was able to take it and show them who it was. And no one had ever told them anything. You see, God places in the heart of everybody a seed that we would want to know who put the stars in their places. And we want to know him. And today you can know him. That's his greatest dream. You see, when I saw Susan, for the first time I would see her sitting over, I said, wow, I sure like to know more about her. I sure would like to. And then as we began to talk a little bit, I said, well, I wish she could look over here so I could see her. And she'd look over here and I'd look away. You know, I don't know. See that one there. And then we'd talk a little bit and I'd watch her a little bit. I said, man, I'd like to. So then after church, I'd go up and I'd say, hi, how are you? My name is David. What is your name? My name's Susan. And so then on the church bus, we're coming back from camp. And I said, you have anybody to sit with you? Of course, she's got 14 girls around her. And I said, I'd like to sit with you. And so we sat together. My first experience with Susan Whatley. And I said, you know, I had a dream. I'd like to be friends with her. I mean, buddies. Did you know? You can't do that with God till you get past this sin problem. And the Bible says God's got a book in heaven with all of our sins written in it. And if you don't get it taken care of in this life, if you're not delivered from your sin in this life, and I'm not telling you the Baptist, did you know that the Baptist denomination is not written in here? Did you know that the Episcopal denomination is not in this book? Did you know that no other denomination's in this book? It's about Jesus Christ and he alone. And all of us in this room, we have to look at it and say, okay, what does it say about how do I get delivered from my sin? It comes to a point where Jesus said it best. He went to a well when he was really tired, and there was a woman came up, and she was the most wicked woman in the city. Been married 5 times, was living with a guy. Just nobody wanted to deal with her or talk with her. And so in the middle of the day, she goes to the well because all the other women wouldn't go there. And so Jesus goes there and meets her, and she comes up and says, hi, you're a stranger. And he said, yes, could I get a drink from your bucket? And she said, why are you talking to me? The Jews don't talk to me. We're Gentiles. He said, if you knew the kind of water that I have to give you, you'd ask, drink of me. You don't have a bucket. He said, I have water from heaven. And he told her about himself and how that he loved her and that he's going to die for her one day. And she went running back into town and said, come see the Messiah. Is not this the one? And she put her faith and trust in Christ. And today, that's what everybody in this room, that's God's greatest dream for you. He's not willing that any should perish. Today has been a time when you come to Jesus Christ and said, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? I'm a sinner. It's not something you do every day. You trust him as Savior. You're born into his family. Jesus himself said you must be born again, physically one time and then spiritually the next time by the Spirit of God. And you're God's child. Now, from that point on, God, his first dream is fulfilled whenever we trust Christ as Savior. He is thrilled by that. Did you know the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoiced? This is Luke 15. The angels in heaven rejoice every time a sinner repents of his sin. So heaven's in an uproar every time someone gets saved, but it doesn't say that about every time somebody gets a promotion. It doesn't say that every time your 401k gets enough money in it. You know what? God is concerned about everyone on earth being delivered from their sin. I want to see you with me in heaven. I want you to have your sin forgiven so we can get close to each other. God wants you to be saved. And folks, today, you have to decide if you're willing to fulfill the first dream of God. Now, if there is no God in heaven, we can all just make money and eat, drink, and be merry. But if there is a God in heaven, we already know his son died on the cross. You write your check every month, every year. Whenever you write a check, you put the date up at the top, 2019, based upon Jesus and his life and death. So the whole world recognized it, 2019. Question is, have you recognized it and come personally to Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you'll trust him? He'll save you this morning and you can fulfill the greatest dream of God? Or are you stuck in your own dreams? Who's going to win? The Lord or you? But he's got another dream. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 17 of Psalm 40. Notice Psalm 40, verse 17. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I'm a nobody. You're a nobody. But God thinks upon us. Why? He dreams about us. When I'm flying in an airplane and you look down, all the cars become little match cars, become smaller and smaller until they become ants. Pretty soon you say, I wonder what God thinks about everybody in that city of Atlanta or Dallas or D.C. or wherever. Did you know God says, I'm sitting there thinking, dreaming about Nathan Gardner. I'm dreaming about Sonny, about Sam. Did you know the Bible says in Psalm 139, God watched you sit down this morning and he watched you stand up to sing. And he's watching your thoughts because he loves you that much. When I fell in love with my wife, I would sit up here, watch her sit on that front row. I watch her sing. Oh, there were hundreds of other people in the room, but only one to me. I sit there and watch her. I'd be thrilled. You know what? My Heavenly Father sits on his beautiful throne and watches you. And he's thinking about you. And he's dreaming about you being saved. Will you fulfill that first dream? But you'll notice number two. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Notice what he says. Excuse me, verse number 7. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. Verse 8. I delight to do thy will. You'll notice with me, if you would, he wants to us to do his will. He wants us to devote our hearts to him. He wants you to fall in love with him. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he says, oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. He wants to become the greatest love of your life. He wants you to be devoted to him. You know, a great lawyer one time came to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. This is the greatest commandment. Now, if there's no God, you don't have to worry about that. But because there is a God in heaven and he knows your name, and by the way, knows the number of hairs on your head, I just made it easy for him, so he didn't think about it much on me. But if it's you, and he looks at you and he says, I know the hairs on your head. I know when you sit down and stand up. I know the thoughts that you think. I know them before you think, and I love you. And so he looks at you and says, but I really want you to love me. Why don't you take your Bible and turn to 1 John. Back of your Bible, all the way to the back of your Bible. 1 John, if you would, chapter 5. A lot of people say, oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Notice, if you would, notice 1 John chapter 5. I want you to see this. In verse number 3. For this is the love of God. Okay, now here's the definition of the love of God. You say, I love the Lord. I'm devoted to the Lord. Here's the definition. That we keep his commandments. That we're obedient. We're obedient to him. But wait more. And his commandments are not grievous. Lord, I'll do anything you want and I'll enjoy them. Lord, if you don't want me to think about other women because I'm married, Lord, you know, Job said it best. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? Do you discipline yourself and obey the Lord? That kind of rules out pornography totally. They'd all go bankrupt if Christians just did the right thing. Do you really love him? Well, now I love the Lord, but you know, I'll curse every once in a while. But getting mad enough, if somebody pushes my buttons or nothing, I'm gonna tell them off. Did you know the Lord Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. He's watching every word. When Peter cursed and swore, Jesus looked at him and his heart broke and he went out. Do you really love the Lord? Is he first with you? You have to obey him. You have to look into his word and obey him. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans. I want you to see something here real quick. Notice if you would Romans 1. Notice with me if you would Romans 1. I'm reminded Romans 1 is a tremendous passage of Scripture. It's the greatest book of doctrine. But you'll notice with me if you would Romans 1. Look if you would in verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts. And then for the next, if you'll notice, 8 verses all the way down to verse 32, he lists things that he says, I don't want my children to do. Look if you would in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Look in verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow, he repeats that. It's among all the other things that are there. It's got a long list there. It's got immorality. It's got fornication. It's got homosexuality. It's got everything down that list of there. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 31, without understanding covenant breakers. In other words, my children, I want you to keep your word when you give it to somebody. It's a long list there. Have you taken that list and said, I'm going to love the Lord? Lord, I'm going to do everything you want me to do. You know, when I came to this church, the church had been through some hard times, and 30 years ago, when I said, Lord, I want to do everything that would encourage their hearts. So when I first came to the church, the last pastor, they'd been accused of money and all that kind of stuff, and so I said, Lord, I'm going to make sure that there's no issue about money. I want to make sure they know I can be trusted. And so did you know I couldn't go down and buy enough toilet paper to outfit the bathrooms without going to a committee to get proof first? So you couldn't operate the church. What do? If there's no toilet paper and all the bathrooms are empty, what do you do now? Okay, I can't go buy any until I go see somebody and get the committee together. Hey, we got to go buy toilet paper. Right? Come on. So I said, Lord, I want to make it where they're comfortable. And so we got together and made a budget. Did you know we still have that budget out there? And we voted on the budget. We voted on it last month. Whatever that budget is, you can ask the guys. You can ask all the people. And they come up and say, hey, do we have money to go spend on this and that? What's the budget say? We live by the law of the Medes and Persians, except for air conditioning. That's one thing we take care of. So when that air conditioning unit broke last Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, it was $12,500. I said, forget the budget. I know what the people are going to say. Pastor, go get that fixed. And so it got fixed, and isn't it cool this morning? Cool place to be. Wow. 95 degrees outside, 90 degrees outside, cool in here. Why? Because, look, I want to do what you want. I want you to be pleased with me. But I most of all want him to be pleased with me. I want to devote my life to him. I want to just quickly give you 2 illustrations. One was Moses. Did you know the Bible says he went up on a mountain with God, and for 40 days he was with the Lord? And the Bible says he was with the Lord face to face. But God tested him at the first. Did you know he went and sat down with the Lord on that mountain? Does anybody remember how long it was before God said a word to him? It was 1 week. It was like God was saying, I want you to check your heart, make sure it's all clean, because I can't talk to you unless you've confessed all your sin. It's all empty. And the Bible says, I'll speak to Moses face to face as a man does his friend. And so you read what Miriam did. She got behind Moses, started talking bad about him, and it made God angry. And he said, that's my friend. Did you know what he did to her? He brought her down with a full body suit of leprosy. And then Moses says, oh, Lord, please, Lord, would you not do that to her? She made a mistake. She's sorry. He said, okay, but tell her to go outside the camp and wait for a week and just think about it. You're my friend. I'm not going to let him talk about you. Moses was the friend of God. They spoke face to face. Are you the friend of God? That's one of his dreams. that you would meet with him on a daily basis. You would sit down and talk with him. Folks, I'm not just telling you things that I learned in school or college. I'm telling you things right out of this book. You read it. Moses was loved by God. Take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 6. I want you to see this. Daniel chapter 6. I want you to see what Daniel did to gain the love of God. I want you to see how he showed the Lord that he loved him. Look with me if you would. Daniel chapter 6. You'll notice in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, there was a writing that you couldn't pray to God for 30 days. I wonder how that would affect us. When you love somebody, you're going to talk to them. When you love somebody, you're going to spend time with them. Are you really devoted to the Lord to where he's the most important person to you in this life? If you are, you'll obey him. Here's the proof. Notice, he said, when he knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, opened his windows, being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did 4 times. The reason this is important is because you know what he knew when he prayed and talked with the Lord these 3 times like he always did? Now, it wasn't enough to get up in the morning one time and pray and talk to the Lord a little bit, read the copy of the scriptures and talk with the Lord a little bit. He did it 3 times a day. He says, Lord, I just can't get enough of you. He was in love with the Lord. And the Lord said, Daniel, there's not many people like you. Take your Bible, turn to Daniel 9. Just a few chapters over. Notice verse 20. While I was praying, speaking, and praying, and confessing my sin, notice if you would in verse 20, and of the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. In other words, he's talking, this is my God, and I'm talking to him, and I'm praying to him. And notice in verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplication, at the beginning of thy prayers, this is an angel comes to speak to Daniel and said, the commandment came forth to me as an angel from God, and I am come to show thee. Notice that little phrase, I got an underline in my Bible, for thou art greatly beloved. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse number 11. And he said unto me, this angel, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Look at verse 19. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. For God is with you. Do you understand 3 times God said to Daniel, oh, I love you. I love you more than the world. You're greatly beloved. You don't find that about many people. You know why? Because there's very few people fulfill the second dream of God. Lord, I want to love you more than anything on this earth. It doesn't mean you can't dream about a new house or a new car. It just means you dream more about how you can please him. Lord, I want you to be pleased with me. And then, lastly, I want you to see that not only does God dream about your deliverance from sin and about your devotion to him, but he dreams about your eternal destination. Did you know Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the verses before that said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where you are, that where I am, there you may be also. He's got heaven prepared for you and I. And let me tell you a bit about heaven. Revelation 22, he says, I'm going to wipe away all the tears so you won't cry anymore. I'm going to wipe away all the bad memories. I'm going to wipe away all the pain and suffering. He said, I'm going to take away all the pain. And you know what he said? I'm going to take away the curse in chapter 22, verse 5. Oh, Lord, thank you. In other words, how many of you know when it is, whenever you have the choice between right and wrong, how wrong seems to be easier a lot of times? So you get close to the Lord, and then right becomes easier. But there's always a struggle sometimes where the old devil puts pressure on you because we have a flesh in our heart that always wants to do what we want to do. And whenever we yield that to the Lord, it's the Lord, but I want to yield to you. I want you to be pleased with me. I love you, and I want you to be pleased with me. And the Lord says, I look forward to having you home with me. You know what he said? I've got the city of Jerusalem, and he brought it down from heaven. Did you know the whole book of Revelation was about one thing? God came to John the apostle while he's been exiled for Christ. Lord, I love you more than all. He's been banished to an island. He's apparently walking someplace near the beach by himself, and God appears to him on the first day of the week, Sunday morning. He said, hey, John, just you and I. John sees him. He falls on his face and says, face to face with God. It was terrorizing. The Lord put his hands on him and said, John, stand up. It's okay. I want to take you to heaven with me. I want you to write it down so all of my children can see what I've got prepared for them. And in chapter 4, he said, all of a sudden, I'm going to call him home. And he said, come up hither. And he said, there it was, the throne of God and all the glories of it. And then he takes him to chapter 21 and he shows him. And he said, look, he said, there's a city and it's 1,320 miles square. And it would go from Chicago to Dallas and from Dallas to D.C. And that's one city. And it's got a wall with 12 different kinds of precious stones in layers up above it. And said, and oh, by the way, all of that, there's 12 gates. Every one is of a single pearl that represents my son's suffering. There's only one way to get in it, through my son. But he said, once you're there, he said, I want you to know what I've prepared for you. He said, I've got it ready. And he said, I've eliminated night because I don't want us to be separated another minute. Now, when I was a kid, I hated to go to sleep. How many of you were like that? I hated to go to sleep. I wanted to be awake all the time because I thought I might miss something. In heaven, I don't ever miss nothing. That's Texas for it's all going to be fine. And I get a chance to be with the Lord for all eternity. And he's got streets of gold. I think that's sort of an oxymoron. We pave our streets with concrete if we're rich, with asphalt if we're not so rich, with gravel if we're a little bit poor, and with nothing if we're real poor. And God says, I'm going to take your greatest treasure that you put on your rings, on your fingers, and I'm going to pave the ground with it so that you know you're my greatest treasure. I'm preparing for you. And I can't wait till you're home with me. Susan was in the hospital 77 days before she died. I was building her a new house. I was halfway finished with it, and I could hardly wait. I'd go through every day, and I said, I'll get this finished for her when she gets home. And one of my great disappointments was she passed away. I didn't realize she was going to until about the 73rd, 74th day. And when I realized she wasn't going to make it, and then I realized she was going to get a better place than I was preparing for. I was really excited for her. But I was disappointed for me because I had this home that I had spent my whole life saving for. Didn't realize it. But I was building this house for her, and all the things were in it. It was all designed for her. And she went to heaven. And you know, I said, now what? Did you know the Lord Jesus has been working for 2,000 years? Not for 6 months, to prepare a place for you. And you're going home at the right time when he decides. And when you step foot inside heaven, you're going to say, wow. And he's going to say, welcome home. But I sure want him to say two more words. Well done. Come on in. Now, if you're saved today, you'll hear those words, welcome home. But only if you devote your life to him will you hear the words, well done. Today, have you been delivered from your sin by the salvation of Jesus Christ? Have you devoted your life to him? Oh, I don't mean you said, I want to be a good Christian. I mean, are you willing to change your language, your thoughts, your steps, all your dreams? Are you going to lay them at Jesus' feet? Are you willing to do whatever he wants you to do? If he wants you to move to Dallas, he wants you to move to D.C., if he wants you to move to Venezuela, are you willing to do anything he says? If not, don't tell me how much you love the Lord, because you don't. It's all or nothing. That's one of the dreams of Jesus Christ, that he can take any of us and move us from here to here, here to here, here to here. Because we're useful tools in his hands. Why? Because he's got some people that need to hear the truth of the gospel and needs people to tell them. And maybe you're in a government and you're right where God wants you to be. And he says, but You've got to be different so that you shine the light in your cubicle next to that guy. Because he didn't see the gospel anyplace else. You're his Bible. You need to love me more. You need to be a Daniel. Did you know Daniel was served for 3 kings? Every one of them elevated him to prime minister. Every one of them. Something about Daniel. You want to know why? His devotion to God was second to none. I want to be like that. So that I can hardly wait till the Lord Jesus says, come on home, son, I got a place for you. The destination I got for you is like nothing you've ever seen. I remember years ago, went on a trip to Fiji. Built a building, a Bible college there. And I remember after the Bible college, we got finished building it, put the roof on and everything, had our first service. I remember the missionary said, hey, we've got a few hours. Would y'all like to go snorkeling in the South Pacific? We said, yes! So we got on a boat, went out there, and I think there were 15 men of us. How many of you were on that trip? Any of the guys here on that trip? How many of you are on that trip? Okay, I see one. Okay. One guy's on that trip. The other guy's here on vacation. That's when I hate vacation. So once you get on this boat, we go out there and we get our snorkeling equipment on. And I look down in the water. He says, can you get down the water and float? And we look down the water and float. And he said, start breathing. And that was terrifying. Breathing through the tube while you're laying on the water. I couldn't get that for a minute. I was fixed away. Somebody had dropped some water tubes in there and I drowned. So I just kind of floated for a minute. Oh, and then all of a sudden my eyes caught on the world beneath the sea. It was like I fell into an aquarium. There were yellowfish and redfish, and they don't have fish in Texas, so it was like, wow, all over the place. No cows, no horses, nothing. I can't see that. It was a whole new world. And it was like my eyes opened up to heaven. One of these days, they are going to open up to heaven, just like Lillian's did. When I see Jesus. But it'll be too late if you haven't given him your heart now. Even though he dreams about you coming to heaven with him. Now don't one of you miss it. He's dreaming about you this morning. Are you willing to fulfill his dreams for you? Because he's got them. It's amazing to me that the God of heaven is dreaming about you and I. Let's fulfill his dreams this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning to talk with the Lord, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I died this morning, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I want to encourage you to come. If I could do that, would you come? If I can encourage you to do that, you say, I've never been saved. Maybe I prayed a prayer or whatever, but I just don't know for sure. I'm not comfortable. I'm not sure. Could I encourage you to come this morning and let me help you find Jesus Christ and the peace of God? Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I know the Lord is Savior, but I haven't given him everything. Oh, I've got things in my plans. I think they're what God wants me to do, but for sure they're what I want me to do. Would you come and lay them on this altar and say, Lord, not mine anymore, yours be done. Lord, help me to love you more than everything that I want. That's his dream. When Susan stood at the altar and said, I do, I will, I follow him anywhere on the face of the earth. Man, it made me feel the most loved guy in the world. Will you do the same thing to your Heavenly Father? I love you. I will. I do. I'll go anywhere you want me to. I'll think any thought that you want me to think. I'll not think the thoughts you don't want me to think. Lord, I'm yours. And can you in the back of your mind realize the reward he has planned for you? I can't wait till I see what Jesus has provided for me. The destination he has planned. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning, Lord, I'm coming home to you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning as only you can. In your precious son's name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.